Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about Fredericksburg issues this morning. Inform Fredericksburg is our topic in the House, transparency in government. Matt Kelly and Rick Poland, two longtime city residents and involved with city issues and good friends here this morning. Been a long time since the two of you have been. I didn't think we had ever done it. I'd never done a show with Matt between with you and Rick, and then you refreshed our memories that back in the Kalahari days.
Kalahari days, we were on here. I was representing a position on the council, and Rick was on the EDA.
I was on the EDA back then, yeah.
Rick, I knew you, or I first was acquainted to you through the Freelance Star.
Yes.
And since then, you're an author, and you've been involved, show up at many city council meetings, especially during the public comment period, and have been involved in the city as long as I can remember.
I've been following city council since 1980, so I have a little bit of history on what they do and don't do.
So you have seen some things.
I've seen a lot.
You've seen a lot of city managers and a lot of issues, good times and bad times.
Yep.
Matt, you've been in the city since you came to Mary Washington College.
I came to Mary Washington in August of 1976. Got my first appointment to a city board, the Housing Policy Commission, I believe in 1981, and have been pretty much involved ever since.
I've known you since about 83 or 84, I think. Mm-hmm. You were one of the first people, just as a citizen, who came to me and wanted to start commenting on things, and we've gone from there. You two have gotten involved with Inform Fredericksburg, and a little bit about Inform Fredericksburg. I mean, I guess transparency in government is really the big thing.
Yeah, it's really all about transparency in government. Everybody knows, like, the local news media has been sort of decimated, and the Freelance Star isn't what it used to be, and a couple of newspapers, online newspapers, are now following some local news here. That's the Advance and the Fredericksburg Free Press. So that it's a little bit of an improvement, but still there's nobody digging into issues. And what we do is we don't take a stand on anything except for transparency. We will criticize city council and city government for lack thereof. But otherwise, we dig deep into a lot of issues that are taking place in the city simply because the city doesn't inform its residents of what's going on.
Inform Fredericksburg is a Facebook page. You can like it, and there are, like you said, there are great write-ups on a lot of these issues.
We've been talking about data centers. We've been talking about the comp plan with the cities going through now.
Taxes. They're skyrocketing in the city, building a new school, the need to build a new wastewater treatment plant. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
These were things, Matt, you were talking about in what we have talked about for years, but especially your last few years of city council, over and over.
Yeah, the issue really is, and again, we're really focusing in on the issue, really critical issues that are facing the city, but that's not to say there aren't good things going on. What we're focusing on is the city is facing some challenges, yeah, which is going to impact people in the future, their quality of life, and their ability to live in this community, frankly. And to have the honest discussions you need, to have the input you need from the public, they need to be informed with the information. And that, frankly, on a lot of these issues is just not happening. So we're kind of stepping in and saying, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this. Now take this information so you as the public can move forward and engage with your local government.
So let's jump into some of these issues. Data centers. I was at the dentist's office last week, and my dentist says to me, well, what do you think of these data centers? I think she lives in the city, and she was concerned about the water. And we had this long discussion about water and how it seems that politicians are looking at money and not thinking about the environment.
Well, all right, let's talk water first. Your typical data center takes between 100,000 and 600,000 gallons of water per day. And you look at the city's water supply, and we really can't afford to give up that much water to a data center. The other thing is, there's lots of other things, but electricity. They take up, we have more data centers in Virginia than anywhere in the world. And the data centers take up 30% of our electricity in Virginia. That's about 100 data centers maybe, taking up 30%. Now, what's a data center? It's a big warehouse full of computers. Well, we all know computers, you know, need a lot of electricity, but also they have to be air-conditioned because computers get hot. And so all the water goes towards the air-conditioning. Basically, most of the electricity goes towards the computers. And so it's a real strain on local communities. I know Caroline County setting up, they've got to build a whole water line. They've got to put a water intake in the Rappahannock River, you know, that'll serve the, you know, data centers. The good side of data centers is they bring in millions of dollars annually, and that's why local governments are so eager to have them.
But that's part of what Rick touched on. If we talk about the water issue, what we haven't discussed is you now have Caroline County taking water out of the Rappahannock, and they're not putting it back. They're going to have to put it someplace else. You've got King George. I mean, everybody now is starting to put in. You had Rocky Penn with Stafford. Everybody's putting the their little straws into the Rappahannock River. And we haven't talked about what that impact here is on that. And electricity, I think Rick hit the point on that right now. Dominion Power is stressed out trying to provide the electricity for this, and it's going to result to a corollary to the amount of revenue is the fact that Dominion Power is going to have to do some significant improvements to its infrastructure and ability to provide electricity, and who ends up paying for that?
And what they do is Virginia Power or Commonwealth Energy, whatever they're called, basically they write these contracts with the data centers prior to them being built, in which they get a cut rate on electricity. So Virginia Power has to build more infrastructure, meaning lines to the data centers. They have to build more, the ability to create more power, and they can pass that on directly to the taxpayers of Virginia, or at least electric customers, I should say, of Virginia. So Virginians, consumers, are subsidizing all of these data centers. Now, what your local government needs to do is say, okay, if you want a data center, the data center company, which is Amazon, basically, they're going to pay for all the electric going to it. They're going to pay for all the water going to it. I mean, the infrastructure part of it. And that's what localities are not doing. And so we're picking up the tab. And if they don't do it, then Virginia Power does it and bills us.
Well, from our perspective at Informed Fredericksburg, what we've done with this one, and as you know, the mayor put it on the agenda. It was not on the agenda to begin with, looking at data centers and Celebrate Virginia. So what we did is we broke out the maps. You know, here's the lots that are available. Here's what's been developed on that track. Here's what the comp plan says, what we want there. Yeah. You know, does this meet that need? And then we went to FRA and Curry Edwards and said, hey, Curry, you guys have been big supporters of data centers. Can you give us a link that you feel is appropriate for people to look at the positive side? So we put all the information down there, including the link for them, so people can get that picture. And again, all we're trying to do in this particular case is provide the information to the public and let them be able to go to their elected officials and say, what about this, what about that, and have a good conversation. Because right now, you had council members going up two by two to inspect centers in Prince William County, not to negotiate, not to do anything, just to see them, and we haven't heard a word out of them.
But the importance of the two by two is that you don't have to disclose it. And so you can, quote, unquote, have a meeting if it's only two members of city council. So a bunch of them went up together, but they, you know, had to ride in separate cars. And then they met with these officials
separately.
And now ask yourself this. If you're just touring a data center, why do you have to do it in secret?
Yeah.
I mean, and as Matt said, okay, if you're negotiating a contract, I totally get it. You know, but there's no reason to go up to Prince William County and look at a bunch of data centers and do it in secret and keep it from the public. But there seems to be a trend here. And as he noted, you know, they bring it up at the last minute at a city council meeting. That way the public is unaware. And the way to get stuff done easily, you know, is to make sure the public is not aware. You know, and it's like, yeah, that's true, but that's not what democracy is all about. It's sloppy.
No, it's better if each individual can come out and say, this is what I saw, this is, and yep. talk about
this is what
it.
I like,
they
this
haven't
what
even
I
talked
like
about
and,
it.
Right. And they've never talked about it.
Now, if you're a resident of Cowan Boulevard or a resident of Celebrate Virginia, I'd be very worried right now because there it's either going, if we do a data center, it will go either on the Hilton track, which is between Route 3 and Cowan Boulevard, or it'll go out there on the backside or the west side, I guess you'd call it, of Celebrate Virginia, where there's a lot of residents in both areas. And the key to these things, data center, it makes a lot of noise. We, if anybody wants to hear it, go to Inform Fredericksburg on Facebook and scroll down till you come to the videos and listen to the noise it makes. I interviewed a person who lives in a community right next to a data center, and they say it's mind-boggling, and they have to live with it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
And by the way, we just approved the NEON project, which would be not too far from one of the available tracks to put it in there. So it'd be an interesting question of, so do you want a data center next to a high-end residential development?
Or does anybody want to live there if they're next to it?
Inform Fredericksburg and issues in the city this morning with Rick Pollan and Matt Kelly. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly, Rick Pollan in this morning, Inform Fredericksburg as we talk about transparency in government and some issues. And a lot of these things, you're right, Rick, a lot of this stuff that you talk about and that we're going to talk about, if you go to the Inform Fredericksburg site, you don't hear this talked about publicly. And that's one of the byproducts.
Our whole purpose at Inform Fredericksburg is to inform the public. We don't take sides on any issue, with the exception of transparency in government. We are an advocate for that, which is why we do what we do. And we do studies and we, in-depth stories and we raise questions and we, we just point out where your government is not being totally open and transparent with you.
And what's interesting about it is on some of the issues that we're covering, Rick and I don't necessarily agree on the ultimate outcome. And we don't agree on a lot of things, but we do agree that you need to have this information out there to be able to have the type of conversation you need to make informed
your
decisions.
Own decision. Yeah, not ours. We don't. That's why we don't take a position. You don't take. I mean, because we don't. Nobody cares what we believe as far as on some issue. But if you're informed, you know, with all the facts, then you can make your own.
I would think as an elected official that I would want to. I would see what you're doing, and I would turn around and want to make sure that I'm putting as much information out there to say, look, I'm doing this, but I don't see that.
Well, the problem you have is, and I don't want to just single out Fredericksburg. This is kind of malaise across the board. In government, local government, or any government, you want to get to point A to point B as quickly as you can in a straight line. Democracy is not mm-hmm. straight lines. It's left, it's rights. It's having to have conversations.
It's sloppy.
It's having to convince people. It's having to accommodate. Okay, we're going to do this, but what can we do to make it better, more for you to understand? People want to be able to leave a meeting that they have with their local officials thinking that they've been heard. That's not happening now. Basically, as we've seen in a number of meetings recently, they've gone out of their way to ignore the public.
Or chastise them. I mean, back in January, there was a big meeting about density of the city.
Yeah.
And 40 people got up and spoke, or almost, well, there's 40-some people in the crowd, maybe 25 or 30. And after they all spoke, they were chastised by council.
And you just kind of wonder. Text about, we're going to vote for this anyway. We don't care what they think. But coming out of that meeting, from our perspective, which was really, to me, the point where I'm really worried where we're going, is in that January 23rd meeting, all people were asking for is, we don't have enough information. We need to understand this more with regards to density and where it's going. And a council member asked the director of planning, well, why can't we put this off 2 weeks? Is there any big deal about us not, you know, taking the time to do this? I've got to give Dr. Duffy credit for making the ask anyway. And then Chuck Johnson's response was, we have projects in the pipeline. Didn't explain what the projects were, didn't say what they were. It's like, we want to get the groundwork done so when these projects come forward, we minimize the need to have a public conversation. And that's exactly what they were saying.
So let's talk about Mary's Landing. That's the project that's over by the old hospital, right? That neighborhood.
The big parking lot.
The big parking lot. Well, I guess the latest and greatest on that is all people are asking for is for the city council to engage in the conversation and explain to them how this project fits what our overall goals. And as we have we posted what's in the comp plan, we posted what's in form-based zoning, we've covered the gamut on that, and basically what is crystal clear is this project does not meet city goals.
It's what, 63 townhouses?
Units, and it's a 8 per unit by right. And what staff is saying is council doesn't have to get involved in this. We will make the decision because the 1891 lot lines are basically grandfathered in, and we have to allow them to build on those
and lots. That's never happened before in the city.
I was going to say, I've never heard this.
Well,
anywhere.
I mean, they first of all, zoning came into Fredericksburg in the 1970s. That's what rules. And then there was, what's this new zone called that they just created?
Oh, the Creative Makers District.
Yeah. And so that is what rules, not a 18 whatever hundreds lot line. And plus, even though they have those lot lines, they're not abiding by them. They are re-subdividing the property. And if you re-subdivide, you have to have public hearings and all that, and it has to go to city council. They're not bothering to do it.
Well, the key point is, Rick is right. They basically took the original 63 or 64 lots, because they had to put roads and alleys in. They had to eliminate a lot of lots. So what they did to make that up is the lots went from 25 feet wide to 20 feet wide. And then they went from 105 feet long to a lot less to accommodate roads. So they eliminated roughly 9 or so of the original lots to cram all this in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say there is an argument for both sides, that there is an argument that this is administrative, there is an argument that there should be public involvement. The fundamental question here is, in a case of that, where you have the administrative or public, why wouldn't the city err on the side of public involvement? Why try to cut the public out of the discussion? That's the fundamental question.
And it happens over and over again, as we discussed earlier with data centers. What is city council doing? Why is it afraid to bring all these issues to the public?
And now what we're getting, what we got, because again, Informed Fredericksburg, we sent a series of questions to the city council, says, can you please address these? They're talking about what's your position on administrative versus do you think this project fits, et cetera, et cetera. Very basic questions that any elected official should be able to address. What was the response? No, we're not going to answer your questions. And by the way, if you have concerns about the project, go talk to the developer. So now we have council members and staff saying, public, if you have issues with this project, you go talk to developers. We're not going to get involved.
I've never heard that.
Our city council no longer represents us. We have to talk directly to the developer. That's insane.
Why have a city? Why? That's why I'm elected. Right. That's
yes.
Why I'm elected.
Why did we elect these people?
They had basically been told not to talk about the Mary's Landing project at all. So they are. They basically hunkered down. And this is a very cynical look. And I'm not saying we necessarily share it, but we now have this big break that I don't remember having when I was on council. And
they call it summer break, and it's 6 weeks.
Six at least.
At least 6 weeks with no city council meetings.
And Stafford's doing the same thing. And I've never seen that.
And then, the basic thing is, I think council's looking, or I shouldn't say that. People have said council is waiting for the staff to approve this while they're off break, so they don't have to deal with them. So, we didn't have anything to do with it. We were on break.
I don't know that I've ever seen, as you just described it, Rick, though, to go back to something from the 1800s.
Yep.
Couldn't you do that on a lot of other projects?
Well, we could do it all over Fredericksburg if
right.
You wanted to. And it's, we have zoning laws. They put zoning laws in place for a reason. Just so this type of stuff wouldn't happen, and you could certainly change the zoning laws. You can get a variance for each thing. I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals for 8 years, and as far as I know, no variances have been applied for with this development, and I kind of wonder why. They're trying like crazy for some reason we don't know to make sure this development gets approved and built. And the only thing I can come close to thinking is We have members of city council who want more density in the city because more people want to live in the city. And, you know, I'm glad more people want to live in the city. That's nice. But the problem is they want more density and they want housing that is not unaffordable. This is not unaffordable. We're talking about townhouses, I think, start at $400,000 or $500,000, $600,000. You know, so that is you know, what you pay for a house in a regular neighborhood. You know, it's not affordable housing. So what is the reason behind what they're doing? I don't understand what city council's up to, and city council won't explain.
So where does this, once a decision, and I guess it does sound like it will be an administrative decision at some point?
At some point, yeah. That's right now they are holding to that position. And
you'd think we elected the staff, you know, instead of city council.
It continues on with projects. As I mentioned on January 23rd, you know, we have projects in the pipeline. We need to make sure everything's taken care of and done with and everything else like that. Now you have the tiny homes project for the homeless, which is a great project, and we need to deal with that issue. I've been involved in that issue a lot of my early career and stuff like that. But you're looking at a project now that has a road that the city doesn't own going into it, Rothman Road, and we haven't addressed who gets that. You have Virginia Supportive Housing is supposed to be a partner in this project. Mary Washington Hospital is supposed to be a partner in this project, yet none of them have come forward on what their components are and what they're doing. Yet we're rushing to, oh, we got to get this across the line. And I can understand it. But you need to follow a process. You need to present all the information to the public so they can say, yes, this makes a lot of sense. Let's have this conversation instead of, again, trying to grease the skids for any project to get it through with minimal amount of public involvement.
If you want to find out more about the Mary's Landing or any of these projects that we're talking about, you can go to the Inform Fredericksburg Facebook page. It has all kinds of information. Much more to talk about this morning with Matt Kelly and Rick Pullen. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 829.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Inform Fredericksburg, transparency in government. That's our focus this morning with Matt Kelly and Rick Pullen, two people that have been involved over the years, for a lot of years, and have, wanting transparency, and the two of you love Fredericksburg. I mean, you have been here your lives.
Don't plan to be anywhere else. Yeah,
and that's another thing. And there are a lot of people like you. I think through these discussions and through these groups we have seen, especially over the last few years, there really are a lot of people. You talk about all the people moving in, and there are really a lot of people that do love Fredericksburg and want to see the best.
And they're trying to get their voices heard, and that's, you know, part of the problem right now.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. And the information they need to be able to react to what's going on is not out there. Talking about transparency, one of the pieces that are being worked on will probably be the next one we do after Rick rips it apart in editing, pertains to the city schools and the conversion of, you know, the old New Walker Grand into an elementary school. And just trying to get a heads up on, hey, where are we with this? It's been a three-month odyssey now trying to get information on what exactly is going on with that project. And I'm not saying that the school's administration has provided some information to me. And then finally they just said, hey, we talk about this every school board meeting. You need to go and look at the school board minutes and meetings. So I'm kind of going, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. But honestly, the public should be able to have easy access to information and not have to dig like this. And this
why the stonewall? Why does local government stonewall its citizens?
Yeah. No, and we see it everywhere.
But
yeah.
In this case, you had a situation where, okay, we've watched meetings, and, oh, they set up a school conversion committee.
Now, this is Fredericksburg we're talking about.
Fredericksburg City Schools. We set up a school conversion committee. I said, oh, great. Let me see the minutes. What? We're not keeping minutes. You set up a elementary school naming committee, which has an agenda and minutes, but you have a committee with two members of the school board on it.
Yeah.
having meetings every 2 weeks, supposedly, and there are no minutes to the meetings, nor is there any discussion at school board meetings about this, including from the two members. And they'll just say, talking about doing cubicles phase one. We're talking about we've hired a consultant, we've hired an architect, we got bids for cubicles, and staff has decided we're going to go with this bid. So, okay, guys, can you want to give us who put bids in? What were the bid amounts? What's the budget? And basically the response was, oh, not only that, I said, I can't find any votes on the school board on any of these things, hiring, spending, or anything else like this. And the response I got from the school board administration was, there's a line item in the budget, and it is, tonight for 2025, $1 million. When the school board voted on that budget, they voted on all this. And I said, okay, that really wouldn't work with the city council. City council, you put two members on the committee, you have to keep minutes, you have to advertise the meetings. Why are they exempt? And why won't they tell us what they're spending the money on? And why isn't the school board more engaged in the spending of this money? Because right now, they're just kind of going month to month spending money on a quote phase one, phase two, but there's no real explanation of exactly where the end game is on this.
And why wouldn't there be?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask the school board. I've been trying for 3 months. If you want to take that project on, please do.
Transparency. But this is the same school board that for 2 years had unanimous votes on everything. And if you go back into the last 10 years of school board votes, I think I counted 7 times that someone disagreed with a public vote. Now, I don't know any public body anywhere that's like that. And so you have to ask yourself, what's different about Fredericksburg City School Board from every other public body in the entire region? And there's only one thing I found. They hold their closed executive sessions before their meetings. And it's illegal to vote in closed session on anything. But, and I'm not accusing them of that. And I've asked a couple of school board members. No, we never did that. But I just find it amazing that they agree on everything.
That is amazing.
Oh, it's not only that. It's if you go back, and again, I've been looking at minutes and video for basically since mid-April of last year through this year. And it's when the agenda comes up, it's read the item. No explanation from staff. You're voting on this. This is, you go to a council meeting and there's Mark or Tim is sitting there going, now tonight you're voting on, no matter how mundane it is in spending money, there is an explanation publicly of what they're voting on.
There rarely is.
There is none with the school board, and it's just motion, vote. No discussion. No discussion on any of these items. They just, okay, thank you for the update. And it's a very basic update. And, push the button and vote. That's the way we operate in the school board.
So many of these issues, it's interesting, Rick, talking to you about it, because I can see, I go back, I have flashbacks to your days in the Freelance Star, and I can see these are articles where I would see Rick Poland, Freelance Star, byline. And you're right, there's the change in how local government is covered has changed the way local governments operate.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote some pieces for the Freelance Star about 3 years ago, in which I pointed out that Fredericksburg City Schools, I think it was like 5 years ago, were the last in the state in academic achievement out of 132 or 137, I forget how many school districts there are now. And, and some people were shocked. The school board was mum. And we keep electing the same people to the city school board, or we put them on city council. And, and we have these terrible, terrible test scores. And they come up with all types of excuses, but nothing changes. And nothing has changed. We built a brand new high school, and, nothing changed. Now they want to build a brand new middle school. Well, not want to. They're doing it for $77 million, and nothing's going to change. And the problem is that they're not helping the kids, because when city council – well, first of all, our taxes went up 9% this year in the city, real estate taxes, just to pay for the beginning of this new school. And but what's going to happen is, by building a new school, instead of adding on to other schools, which they could have done. All of the city schools but one were built for additions. They're doubling or tripling the expense. That's raising the taxes. So city council will have no money for programs or whatever for the city schools to actually teach these kids. I mean, they're going to have to hire new administration for a new school. They could transfer some teachers over, and they're saying, oh, we're overcrowded and this and that and everything. But yet, you know, the school population's barely budged in the last 5 years. I think it's gone up by 100. So, you know, it's they're not thinking straight on how we're going to handle all these issues. And if you live in Fredericksburg, your taxes are going through the roof in the next several years, and there's nothing that's going to stop it. And we haven't even talked a wastewater treatment plant yet, which they have to build. And that's even going to make it worse.
I just wrote that down because I didn't want to let that get away. But, yeah, how will that impact taxes?
Well, that's going to cost twice what this new school costs. So you figure that one out. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I figured out, and this is 3 years ago when a new wastewater treatment plant was only going to cost like $70 million, and that the average homeowner's utilities and taxes would go up $1,000 in 5 years, and it'll probably be more than that.
This is why everyone looks to data centers.
Yeah, well, that's they're desperate for data. They're desperate for something to pay the taxes. You know, we're looking at a city council that spent $5 million on a riverfront park, $5,000 on a picnic table, and $5,000 on trash cans, which they later got rid of and used cheaper trash cans. They were exotic, you know, supposedly. They're just metal, you know, and they shipped them over from France. And, you know, are we kidding? You know, this is what our city council, the way they waste money. You know, I mean, city council just replaced all the city trash cans in the city that are at homes, and recycling and also regular mm-hmm. trash cans for $280,000. Now, the trash cans we had were perfectly fine, but these have a microchip in them or something, so they can find out, you know, if you're using your trash can or your neighbor's. I mean, it's just ridiculous type spending this city is doing, and it shows up in our new tax bill every year.
How do people continue to live in Fredericksburg as this happens, Matt?
An interesting point, and that some of my former colleagues on the council made, and we talked about this earlier about density, saying density is going to save everything because it's going to make it more affordable and everything else like this. Let's look at the example they love to give, which is Alexandria. Alexandria right now, population per square mile is over 10,000. We're about 2,400. So by their rationale, then everything should be so much better now because they've got the density for the people who live there. Their tax, ours is 77, theirs is $1.13.5 tax rate. The average home in Alexandria is almost 700,000. Of course, it's 400 and something here in the city. Average rent in Alexandria is almost 3,000, 1,600 or so here in the city. Median income up there is 111,000. We're around 80 or so. So basically, totally gentrified. So based on what our friends are doing now, thinking that they're going to make this so much nicer for everybody to live in, they are basically going to price everybody out of the city if they continue with the decisions they're making.
Well, and here's the problem with the city. I think it's 57% of our residents are what they call ALICE, or basically at risk or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just, how can they afford to live here anymore? I don't know. And, you know, they're going to drive them all out. And, you know, and it's... I don't know what you do about it. I mean, with the policies the city council has, there's no way, you know, to stop. Whether they can't stop, but they don't want to stop what they're doing.
The train derailment. Any issues? Any concerns that you have had, and that's still being talked about? And CSX has been asked to come up with some answers.
Well, they have been, and rightfully so. Yeah. There's no question about that. The only point I would make, and I think that needs to be a broader discussion, which right now the focus is totally on CSX, and rightfully so, but as it's been reported in the news, what happened, and we can talk about whether the siding should have been there at all, the system worked. If the trains rolled on an error, and they were supposed to fall off the track, so they didn't block the track. So the question is, what are we doing as a city to understanding that we built a wall right next to it, knowing that the potential is for cars to fall? We just approved a housing development right in the parking lot of the Colonial Tavern, which is what? Right up against
yeah.
the rails, and then we're looking in the future of building a third rail. So I think part of this, for a broader conversation that we need to have, is how is the city going to respond to, in future development and things, to deal with issues? To say in a letter to CSX, you got to guarantee this will never happen again. There's always going to be
issues. Yeah, but I'm gonna go with city council this time. I think they're responding correctly. They're angry, and the city manager sent some pretty stern letters, you know, to CSX, and they, you know, something finally will happen from this. The community of Mayfield's been complaining about CSX for years,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and absolutely nothing has happened. We've taken it to Congress. Nothing. Our local representatives are have done nothing that I'm aware of, except for talking about the issue. What Matt said is correct. The system worked. What you have to ask yourself: what does that mean? Well, what it means is the representative from CSX who came here and said it worked didn't say anything about. Basically, let me talk a little bit about this, the derailleur device on the track so that it wouldn't roll back onto the main line. The cars were parked, and they started to roll because the crew did not secure them properly. So at CSX has admitted it's at fault, which is good for them. The way the derailleur works, it forces the derailment to roll onto the neighbor's property and not onto its own. Now that's where CSX is at fault. This track is so close to the neighbor's that as soon as it rolled, it hit the wall. Well, so CSX sort of chided the neighbor for building the wall. And I say, no, CSX, you are responsible for what goes on your property. You are not supposed to be damaging other people's property. But the way it lays its tracks down, it does. And it's an accident waiting to happen, and I think Matt sort of said that. So we have to go after CSX to take responsibility for its own actions. And here, CSX has a history here of not taking responsibility for its own business. The taxpayers of Virginia paid for a new rail bridge just north of Quantico. The taxpayers of Virginia paid to enlarge tunnels through the mountains down in southwest Virginia for the trains to run through. The taxpayers just paid for renovating the city train station, which is owned by CSX. The taxpayers pay annual subsidies in the millions to CSX. You know, they're not a good corporate neighbor. They're into corporate welfare.
Yeah.
And they're doing it, and the taxpayers are paying for a new bridge over the Potomac River. You know, CSX contributes something, but majority of it is the taxpayers. And, you know, and so it basically designs its derailments so the taxpayers are damaged and have to pay for it instead of CSX. Now, CSX has vowed it'll pay for it, but why did it set up a system in which it damages the neighbors instead of its own property?
Well, actually, one point I want to make right here is obviously Rick and I have different approaches to this, and that's a good thing. We're having a level of conversation that needs to be at every level of government where we can bring these things up. In front of the public, because, again, I don't disagree with anything Rick said. You know, the point being here is the city is responsible for the safety of its public. The realities are, these are the realities. Are we taking all the precautions necessary to deal with these realities? And what are we going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? That's a conversation need to be had.
And he's right. He's right about that. And especially where they want to build this new, apartment building or condo building?
Yeah, they got a building going right there.
I mean, we're talking 10 feet from the main line. Right. And this is not a siding here. This is 10 feet from the main line. And, of course, there's a restaurant in the old train station. You know, they could derail anywhere. They could derail on the bridge going over the Rappahannock, anything. But, you know, if they derail on the bridge, at least, you know, they're not going to hit anybody probably unless there's a fisherman down there. Whereas if they derail right there at the train station or right just past it.
So. There's a reason why there's a lot of parking lots along the rail lines until now. Now we're building in those parking lots.
I didn't
realize. Should we be doing that?
That was being there. There was something.
Yeah, there's a project
there.
That's already been approved. Yeah,
and one thing we haven't talked about is toxic substances on trains. We missed a toxic substance derailing by a couple of cars. Mm. We came that close to having last year's Ohio blast. This is, I think it's molten sulfate or something, I forget the name. But I looked it up. It releases three different poisonous gases. They would have had to evacuate the entire city or big chunks of the city had those cars derailed instead of the ones that did.
Wow,
we came that close. And you, I mean, the fire chief brought it up, you know, in his remarks last Wednesday. It is, you don't have any idea how close we came to a true environmental disaster that could have killed hundreds of well, I don't know if killed or made them sick, Fredericksburg residents.
That's scary.
Yeah. Well, that's the bottom line is the ultimate goal is the safety of the public. And that means a broader conversation rather than just pointing fingers and saying, it's all your fault, take care of it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of moving pieces in here. You know, the federal rail controls everything. And up to this point, and a lot of, and I agree with Rick, we need to do something to deal with this. But Federal Rail will come in and go, and have been in those meetings as a VRE rep. CSX is following all federal regulations. They don't have to make any changes.
Well, that's where our congressional delegation comes in. They need to get those regulations changed. They need to pass bills in Congress. They need to go to the Transportation Department. There's a bill in Congress right now to deal with hazardous materials, which I understand has been watered down by the railroad industry. Well, of course it has. That's what lobbyists do.
Yeah. Good stuff, a lot to think about. Matt Kelly, Rick Pollan here this morning. Inform Fredericksburg, one final break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly here this morning. Good stuff. Inform Fredericksburg. Transparency in government. If you live in the city of Fredericksburg, if you live in any local, wherever you live, these kinds of things are happening. You ought to take a look at them and ask some questions. Before we get out of here, you talked about the water and sewer. That's a lot of money.
Right now, the latest numbers, that including contingencies all in, we're at the city is at 100, basically $180 million. For this and
for the
wastewater treatment plant,
yeah,
and that's to add a $1.5 million gallons of additional capacity for that amount of money. And I do want to point out that the city staff has done a great job in securing federal funding and everything else like that to help offset that cost,
which is about what, 50 million, 40 million?
No, a little bit more. There's still numbers waiting out there that they haven't firmed up yet, which I keep asking about and haven't gotten an answer with. So more on that. But the interesting thing is Spotsylvania is now doing their expansion of Massaponics, and they're adding
wastewater treatment plant,
and they're adding over 4 million gallons of additional capacity, and they're at half the cost that the city is. So one of the things is why is there such a – well, one is ours is the most antiquated wastewater treatment plant around. Massaponics is a little bit newer, but it still begs the question of why couldn't we have continued on if we were going to get this amount of money that we are for the city, that and we had done a regional plant, which is what the state and the feds wanted. We could have done this project and probably spent a lot less money and time and effort combining it instead of going our separate ways. But we are where we're at.
Well, we're talking maybe $50 million or something savings, or who knows how much. We don't know. Can't find out from local government. You know, so the taxpayers of Fredericksburg will be paying it.
And we have a timeline that was presented to us because I got into a discussion with one of my former colleagues in Spotsylvania County about was basically, you guys screwed it up. You know, how localities deal with each other. You guys were dragging your feet.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you were dragging your feet. And they went, oh, yeah? And I got a copy of Spotsylvania's timeline on when the discussions, what were approved, what were the numbers and everything else, which we'll publish in the near future.
So and look on Inform Fredericksburg on Facebook.
There'll be more to come on that. But the interesting thing to me was, then I went back and I looked at the work sessions that we had on council, and I'm looking at what we're being presented by staff as opposed to what supposedly is happening at the time. And I'm not saying it's totally off, but there's a lot of information that was not given to the council specifically related to how hard the state was trying to push us into this deal. and some of the numbers and some of the problems they ran into with regards to how much we had, how much capacity we had to build.
Which begs the question, how much has city council left in the dark about financial details in the city?
So that is an interesting question. And again, it's been difficult getting information. I've been trying to get information, last point, on budgets from departments, because our planning commission, we agreed with the planning commission, we need to start telling the public what they're not getting, what is being deferred. And I wanted to get a hold of the department budgets to see, because they say deferred, deferred, deferred. I've talked about this when I was on council. City will not give those records over to us to look at. We cannot look at department budgets because it's working papers, and therefore they feel protected under FOIA.
And now the city is between a rock and a hard place. We're looking at spending probably another $100 million, you know, on a wastewater treatment plant. We have no tax base, expanded tax base to pay for this, which means local real estate taxes will skyrocket. And they're looking at a data center to try to pay for this, but the data center won't be around for years, and whether they can come up with enough water, and we're going to have to pay for all their electric connections and all that, who knows?
Well, thank you both. Interesting, a lot of things to think about. And again, you can follow all of this, Inform Fredericksburg. It's on Facebook. Great Facebook page, a lot of research, and questions for your local government, local elected officials. Thanks for what you do. Matt Kelly, Rick Pollan, we'll talk again soon.
Thanks
for having us.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.